Okay, we're up to Kuf Yutes Sif Tezvav. Kuf Yutes Sif Tezvav, there's a P.S. Sif Tezvav, which I began briefly last week, are rules for Hechsherim, which I think you'll find interesting. I just want to add a P.S. to what we learned last 3 weeks, I believe. The halach of someone who sells treifa meat, anything treif really. So we had already learned that if someone sells something treif, so if it's still around, of course it's a mekartos and you get a refund. If it's an isidereisa, even if it was already eaten, you're also entitled to your money back. Now, probably the more significant shaila, when someone sold treifus, is whether the person who sold it is obligated to reimburse the buyer for the hezek that took place. He could have sold him a piece of treif of meat, and the person put it into a chalent. Besides the fact that he ruined the whole chalent, not just the meat, the crock pot, you often can't be kashered, so he has to throw out the crock pot. And the question is whether he's chayiv for all the secondary hezekim, all the hezekim that were caused because he sold the becheskes kashrus and it came out treif. Now I want to point out this can happen to an honest person also. We're talking always about crooks. It can happen to an honest person who was the supplier sent him something incorrect and he sold it and now he does a recall. It happens all the time. You hear about a recall with something that's treif. What happens if it made something treif? What? It would seem to be totally in the dinim of Grama and Garmi. Yeah. Munsi, he didn't even reimburse anybody. Yeah. Okay. So you can have both cases. You have a case where it's still around, where even by a drabon and you have to reimburse. You have a case where it's a deraisa where you always have to. Now, when you talk about a drabon and it can become more interesting, let's talk about a deraisa, which is, I guess, for now the simplest. If I remember, I'll come back to what could be different about the Rabbanim. Let's talk about an Issa Deraisa, where he caused the Hezek. So Pashit, it should be totally in the rules of Grama and Garmi, which I'll get to in a minute. But I want to tell you about probably Nun Zayin, about 40 years ago, 35, 40 years ago, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach caused a tremendous tumult with the following psak, and the gedarim of the psak definitely need a hesber. It had happened that in one of the stores in Yerushalayim, they sold sugar, but the way the store sold the sugar, and here you go and you buy prepackaged at the plant. This store was buying 100-pound bags of sugar and packaging them into 5-pound bags on his own. And selling it, it's just a cheaper way to sell. Today they do that with a lot of candies and nuts. They repackage it and they sell it. So in this store, they were buying things like sugar and repackaging it and selling it. Now what happened is that they made a mistake. They packaged a 5-pound bag of salt with the label sugar, or sukkah. And they sold to a number of people 5 pounds of salt at the price of 5 pounds of sugar, which is cheaper.
Salt is much cheaper.
Okay, so they sold it that way. Now the tumult was not over the difference between the price of salt and the price of sugar. Some people had put sugar into their cakes, and when you put 2 cups of sugar into a cake, it tastes good. When you put 2 cups of salt, it doesn't taste so good. And there was a tefiah for the hezek that was caused by switching the salt for the sugar. So if you ask me at first glance, that should be totally in the dinim of Grama and Garmi. He's a Gairim, so we could talk about it in a minute. Rav Shlomo Zalman there said a tremendous chiddush. There's a Gemara in Bava Kamma Davav, a Gemara of Bar HaMizgalgel. Bar HaMizgalgel is a case where a person puts something out in the street, not a bar could be a hole, but this was not a hole. he put whatever he did construction. He put a bunch of items out in the street, a bunch of barrels into the street, and it's a bar. Someone gets hurt, so the rules of bar apply. Now the bar is a bar misgalgel baraglei b'nei adam, which means, let's say he left it on East 22nd Street, and as the traffic walked down the street, it got kicked. It got kicked out into Avenue S. Then on Avenue S, it did hezek to someone traveling down Avenue S. Now a person who put the bar on East 22nd Street. And people walking, that's what happens when you have traffic. You kick things along. It got kicked onto to East 22nd Street, and there it was mazik. So the Gemara there says a chiddush that bor hamizgalgel baraglei b'nei adam is the responsibility of the person who put it there. Since it's normal. It's normal. Just like a fire. If you light something on fire, it's normal for it to spread. The same thing, if you put a bar that could be kicked by people or animals on East 22nd Street, it's normal that over time it's going to get kicked into Avenue S. Yes. And therefore, the person who placed it there is responsible. So Zakrim Shlomo Zalman, the same thing, if you put salt in a sugar container, it's normal that people are going to put it into their coffee or into their cakes, and it's going to cause damage. So he said that the store owner is responsible for that which happened afterwards. That was his psak, but he writes, I have in the other room a letter, he responded, it's not a written psak, it was an oral psak. When it got around, he writes that he said it's Yaiser Mistaver, that he's chayim, so he told them to make a pshar. But he had this svara that if you put something, it's a bar miskav. And that seems to be exactly the same case. There's no difference if you put salt in a sugar package or if you put treif of meat in a kosher meat package. The salt is going to end up in a different product. And the treif of meat, nobody eats it raw. Everybody takes treif of meat and puts it in a pot or in a crock pot. It's going to end up in a crock pot. Cholam is always going to end up in a crock pot, and it's going to make things treif. It would seem to be similar to this case of Rav Shlomo Zalman, where you put something and it's this galgel, it heads to a certain outcome. Now they wrote to Rav Shlomo Zalman. In this letter, what do you think? Let's say you have a big garbage dumpster. Now, it's Israel, the garbage goes into these big dumpsters. Someone comes, he throws a bag on top of the dumpster, and it's got glass in it. Of course, when the garbage sanitation men come, whatever's on top falls on the side. They don't clean that stuff up. And the bag fell down, and somebody got hurt on the glass. In a way that the bar would be chayiv. Well, do you think you're responsible? So Shlomo Zalman said, of course you are. It's a regular bar miskalgel. Like he is. Why? You think you're not? He said, of course you are. It's a bar miskalgel. So this chiddush, what Shlomo Zalman said about salt and sugar, should be the same. What? In. Yeah, but this person was negligent. He put it on top. He threw it on a heap. No, yeah, sorry. The stuff all the way up by the heap doesn't make it.
Who's responsible?
The person who put it there. Because that's a normal...
It had to be a bar to start with. When he put it down, it wasn't a bar.
When he put it on top... All right, when he put salt in a sugar, when he put salt in a sugar bag, it's not a bar yet either.
It's
salt in a sugar bag is not a bar. So salt in a sugar bag is also not. The truth is, bar miskalgel might be esh, not pashit. Even though it's a bar hamizgalgel, the lumdis of the sugya could be that it's esh or something that spreads. That's
ha'ilach
u'mazik.
But
bar miskalgel is chayiv legamer.
The one that kicks it.
Yeah, kicker is pater. He walked normally. The Gemara says it's not normal for people to look where they're going. I always tell that to my wife whenever she blames me for things. It says the Farish. Any dog should have my people don't look at it all. Yeah.
In other words, is the needle what the vessel is? Is it a clear bag?
Let's leave that case. What about the comparison between the sugar and the salt and the trefa meat and the kosher meat? It seems to be an excellent comparison. What's the difference? Trefa meat and kosher meat ending up in a... raw meat's not going to end up in a pot? That's a suffix? Not suffix. Vadai deraisa. Vadai. Talking about vadai treif deraisa. I'm talking about vadai salt and a sugar bin. Vadai. What happens if he knew? He didn't know. He made a mistake. The salt and sugar, he didn't know purposely. He made a mistake. Because he's going to Rashi, that's a knas. But that does not do it being a mazik. What's that do being a mazik? Here you're a mazik. You put so it seemed to be the same. I agree it's a tremendous chiddush. I agree it's a tremendous chiddush. I don't know what to tell you. They're not both a mekatah. Salt for sugar is not a mekatah. And trefa meat for kosher meat. No, your question of Shabbos Zalman is dimyan. I agree. But my dimyan, the salt to sugar to the kosher meat and trefa meat, seems to be exactly the same. What's the difference? The salt and sugar, it's possible he could have tasted it and known it was salt. Here he had no way of knowing. He bought meat that said the hechsher on it and he thought it was kosher.
Should have known. You know the person should know sugar and salt.
Who didn't know? The buyer or the seller? No, he's my dad. What do you mean, prove it to me? I'm not sure it's a sovereign. I'm not sure it's a vadai. He makes a recall. This happens every once in a while. The recall means, I didn't know, but now I know. Why should it matter? The guy who sold the salt because the sugar also didn't know. I don't see the difference between one and the other. If salt and sugar, you're responsible for what comes out, then this also. Now, yeah. He's not obligated to know what he's selling, but if he puts a label on it, yes, then he's obligated to. He did label it sugar. That's the case. He labeled it sugar. If it was clear, it might have been detergent. You put it in the washing machine. Who knows what it is? He labeled it sugar. The case was he labeled it sugar. He made a mistake. You know, mistakes happen. Baruch Hashem, it wasn't detergent. It would have been more serious consequences. So that's his kiddush. That he bears the brunt. I mean, a grama would be anyway, but to ischayv din imamin, it's a chiddush. So here, there's a punchline to all this, because Rav Shlomo Zalman's psak is published in a number of places, a number of kutrasim, and people tumble about it. But as Rav Shlomo Zalman stood by his, that pashtus, it's a bar hamizgalgel. It's not like a normal grama. A normal grama would be, he says, if someone ate it and got sick from it, that would be grum. But where the salt itself, the cheska sugar, did damage, that's baram is galgul. That's what he writes in one of his responses. Be that as it may, his psak, that was his psak. His psak was, baram is galgul is something that's normally going to happen, and salt, but welcome sugar, is something that's normally going to happen. And l'chayr, it should be the same as this. The problem is, and this is why I'm mentioning it, besides that it's interesting, is that in the Sinus, in Simin Reish Lamed Aleph, with this halacha is brought in Choshen Mishpat, is Sivkot and Aleph, is Dan, what is the din if the person treif it up? He doesn't mention kalim, he mentions other food. He put the treif of food in a soup. He took this treif of meat, he put it in a soup, and he ruined the whole soup. So you got a refund on the difference of price in the meat, but what about the soup, or the stew, or the cholent? What about all the other food that it was massive? Shlomo Zalman says, it's daima to simin chavhei, when a dayan gives a psak halacha and he makes a mistake. That's not Shlomo Zalman, this is the Sivis. The Sivis says, this is daima to simin chavhei, sif aleph, where a dayan is asked a halacha and he gives a psak. And it causes consequences. The dayan paskins, this is treif, and the person throws it out. And then it turns out it was kosher. He was a Tevet Var Mishnah, Shikala Dasi, I'm responsible. He was a Tevet Var Mishnah, he forgot him before Shalacha, and the person already threw it out, and He does a regal. I once had a shayla, food shayla Thursday night. I told someone a psak. And a whole Shabbos, I remembered the person who called was a Sephardi. And according to the Mechaber, it's mutter. And I was hoping he didn't throw it out. Because I called him right after Shabbos. And Baruch Hashem, he didn't throw it out. So, you know, we saved it. But it could happen. A person making a Torah says, Tayyibit Var Mishnah, a halacha mufureshes. And the Dayan is responsible. According to the Machlokes Mechaber Ramah, the Mechaber holds the Dayan is not responsible. Ramah holds you are. Same thing, Hamara Din al Shulchani, it's a case in the Gemara. Someone sells a coin to ask a Shulchani if it's counterfeit. He has the same Nida, and the Shulchani says it's good. And he accepts it to sell Metatlum, which is taken away already. And now it turns out to be counterfeit. What's the halacha there? Are the kitzur halacha there? It depends on the rules of Groma and Garmi. So I'm going to ask you to switch gears for a minute. I want to talk to you about Chayshe Mishpat, about Groma and Garmi, and then come back. What I'm going to tell you now is the basic olive bays of causing hezek to other people indirectly. Groma. What? I will get my shamzam, put him aside. I will learn the nesivis and see how it stims. Shamzam knew the nesivis, knew simon chafei. I want to learn with you dine groma garmi. Okay, groma garmi is one of the hardest sugyas in shas. We paskin, if you cause a hezek indirectly, not a direct hezek, but an indirect hezek. If you tell somebody he's reliable, you can lend him money, and you should have known he's not reliable. You're a groma. The groma means cause. Garmi means cause. They mean the same thing. But the Gemara uses them as code words. Dina de garmi is the type of groma that you're obligated to pay. And groma is only chayev dine shemayim, and usually make a pshara. Garmi is chayev, groma is pater. Now, the strangest thing is, nowhere in Shas does it say what are the criteria for groma and garmi? All you have in Shas is about maybe 10 or a dozen cases of garmi, and many cases of groma, and it's left to you to figure out what's the rule. There's no rule in the Gemara. Not left to me, it's left to Rishayim to figure out what's the rule. You try to take one rule and fit it in all dozen cases. So the Mechaber passes like the Rambam. I'll tell you the Rambam Shita. Ramah passes like the Rosh. I'll tell you the Rosh Shita. And the Shach passes like the Ritzvah, like one of the Bali Taisvis. It becomes in Halacha a big mess. Grom and Garmi is a very big mess. I'll tell you the three Shitas. And we'll plug in each one. Mechaber, which is the Rambam says, there's no rule Grom and Garmi. The rule is, if you're a Peshaya or a Mazed, and you do a groma, you chayev. That's Dina de Garmi. If you're a Shegeg, you did it by mistake, even though you should have known better, that's groma. Then you're part of Dina Yada. So Mechaber Shita is Mazed as opposed to a Shegeg. That's why the Mechaber holds. If the Dayan paskened incorrectly, he's Potter, because presumably it was a Shegeg, he made a mistake. And Mechaber holds your Pater. The Ramah holds, and this is where it becomes very significant to our discussion. Ramah passes like the Rosh. The Rosh says Garmi is Chayiv if it's Bari Hezeka. It's definite that Hezek will come, that damage will come from what you said. Bari Hezeka. And the groma has to be with the Dover HaNizik. What he means is this. Let's say, Chazal had a case of a person who puts a mattress on the ground, and he has to carry something down 5 flights of stairs. He'll carry it down 5 flights of stairs. It's a pain in the neck. So he wants to throw it out the window. And I know some movers like that. I'm sure you've seen them. He throws it out the window and then pick it up. They don't want to break. So he puts a mattress, and he's throwing out your crystal out the window. He says, don't worry about it, there's a mattress down there. And someone walking downstairs picks up the mattress as that item is coming down. Now it's Bari Hezeka. You're pulling a mattress, definitely going to break. But it's only a grama. You didn't do a maisa with the dover hanizik. You did the maisa with it, with something that would save it. That's grama. So there are two conditions. It has to be bari hazek. It has to be definitely what you did is going to cause damage. And two, it has to be with the dover hanizik. That's the Rosh Hashita, that's the Rama. Anybody, Johnny is walking down the street and he pulls away. The mover is part of when he threw it out. There was a mattress there. He threw it out. There's a mattress there. He's not chayiv. And maybe he shouldn't have done it that way. Maybe it's the owner who's throwing it down. Whatever. The shach shita is that there are zero rules. It's the ritzpah. The ritzpah is a taisis, I think, in the first or second paragraph of Baba Basra, in the bottom of Amid Aleph. The ritzpah shita is there are no rules. Everything's a grama. Except the dozen cases mentioned in Halacha, they called it Garmi. He says everybody tries to make rules, there are too many kashas, no rule. The 12 that I mentioned in Shas, it's a question, might be 10, might be 12, those are one din and everything else is another. Now, let's come back to the salt and sugar case. I'm assuming that Shlomo Zalman is going with the Ramah. Shem Zalman knew that anybody talks about salt and sugar is going to talk about Grama and Garmi. The Shach, the Nesivis seems to be plugging it into Grama and Garmi. You can't argue, Shem Zalman can't argue with the Nesivis. So, what's the Nidin? The Nidin is this. When you put salt in a sugar container, a sugar bag, if you do it, you're certainly going to cause some sort of hezek. Unless the person happens to taste it. How much hezek? It depends. This person brought home a 5-pound bag of salt, the cheskas sugar. If the first time that the person used it, they would have taken a teaspoon of it and put it into a coffee, they would have ruined a 20-cent, 10-cent container of coffee. Right? They could have ruined just a 10-cent container of coffee. Lamaisa, that wasn't the story. The story was they put it into a cake, and they ruined the whole cake. They could have put it into something more significant. They could have put it into something that's more expensive than that. Is that called Bari Hezek? Is that Bari? A Hezek will definitely come. How much? Hard to know. You suddenly trade for Mikbe Cheskas Kasher. Something's going to go wrong. But you may cook it in a pot that could be kashered. So it's not a very big loss. Could be you put it in a crock pot that has to be thrown out, and it's a bigger loss. It could be that he'll put it into a gigantic cholent for a kiddush, and it'll cause a loss of a lot of money. It's very hard to know. Oh, good. So the point is this. Again, I didn't speak to Shlomo Zalman about this. I can't answer for him. But I would think when you put salt in a sugar container, or you put trefa meat in the kosher package, going with the Rama, according to the Mechaber Yepater, Mechaber says, unless you're a Pesheya, but if a person just did it innocently, he'd be Pater. If you put salt in a sugar container, it's Garmi. It's going to cause some hezek. I mean, it's possible the person will taste it. I don't know about you. I don't go licking my sugar container. It's going to go into something. People don't eat sugar. They eat sugar in a product. The only thing is, how much hezek is going to cause? I would think, it's not bori hezek. Bori is maybe a 20-cent coffee. But it's not bori it's going to ruin a $50 crock pot. That's not bori hezek. So, Rishon HaZalman, that is like a bar hamizgalgel. Bar hamizgalgel is the same thing. You put a bar in the street, it's going to get kicked. It's not going to get kicked down. Where's it going to get kicked? Maybe it'll get kicked down the sewer. Maybe it'll get kicked in the middle of the street. Maybe it'll get kicked on the sidewalk. Maybe it'll kicked in front of someone's house who sweeps up his front of his house. The way I would understand what Shlomo Zalman is saying is that any normal consequence within the range is all part of Bari Hezekah. Bari Hezekah, you can't say salt sugar, salt because sugar. So it's only Bari that you'll be mazik a 20-cent cup of coffee or a 5-cent cup of tea. Not bar, you're gonna ruin a whole cake. On that, Rav Shlomo Zalman's Piddush is much more palatable. It's much more, you can accept it much better. Bar HaMisgadol tells us that any normal outcome, that's the Bari Hezek. A Hezek is going to come. How big, how small? Whatever's within the range of normal. Whatever's in the range of normal is it would be considered in the rule of Bari Hezek. And therefore, it would follow Shtim Zutin Nesivis. Nesivis talking like the Ramah. I'm assuming Shem Zalman was passing in Fashkenazim will follow the Ramah. That it's considered to be a Bari Hezek, it's going to cause a normal damage. You can't tie it, you could have put it into a cup of tea. Because it's normal, like Bar Miskagel. Many outcomes are normal. It could get kicked here, there, or third place, but you're responsible for all of them. Same thing with the salt, Bamakam sugar. You're responsible for whatever outcome, and prior to it's a normal outcome. Which would mean, the way I understand, that if it ruins a crock, if it's shalot meat, and it ruins a crock pot, I don't know what you're doing, it's throw that. Crock pot's also probably. You know, the crock pots, most of them can be kashed. And therefore, if you would put it into a crock pot, the way I understand, the meicher should be chayiv. The meicher should be chayiv. Now, according to the Sfaradim, according to the Mechaber, only if it's a pesheya, if he deliberately sold treif. Not even a shaygeg or an itis. What does he put in a 100-pound mix of cake? And punk that dough he used as a dough for a meat platter of some sort. It would have to be like Bar Miskalgel. We have to ask the question, is Bar Miskalgel, is there no limit? I don't know. It would seem to have to be a normal outcome. That's what seems. Well, it's only enough kamina like the mechaber. According to the Ramah, there's no difference. Okay, I mentioned the shita that's a knas, that all the achrayim consider to be a das yachid. It's Rashi shita, and the Taz goes with it, but the achrayim generally accept the Rambam's mahalach that it's yachayiv, not as knas. Not yechayev because yechayev. That's what we're talking about. Yechayev because be'etzim yechayev. If you sell treif and makam kasha, that's how the Nesivis holds that way. Nesivis explains it that way, that it's not food, and that's why yechayev. Nesivis, this is a Nesivis, and that's a Nesivis. They're one next to each other. One is Reish Lamed Aleph, and one is Reish Lamed Gimel. They're two away from each other. Nesivis is definitely not going with Rashi Shita that it's a knas. He's going with the assumption that when you sell treif, becheskas food, it's like selling poison, becheskas food. It'd be the same shot. You sold poison and then he put it into his chalim. I'm going with the mahalach that there's no difference if he knew or he didn't know. Okay? There's no difference if he knew or he didn't know. We spoke out in the Sivas. The Sivas says, the Torah says it's treif, then it's not food. You sold it, you pretended it was food. If you sell plastic apples and the person thinks it's a real apple, it's a plastic apple. Even if he ate it, he didn't eat an apple, he ate a piece of plastic. It's not, that's Nesivis.
Why do you have to go to the Yerushalmi and not directly to the Dinu Bor?
It's very schwer. The problem with Rav Shlomo Zalman is, first in Svara, it should be totally in Grama Garmi. If I would ask anybody here the Shah, they'd say, oh, it's a Grama. That's what you said first thing, right? It's a Grama. And secondly, the Nesivis himself, in Reish Lamed Aleph, he doesn't use the Grama. He just says the words, Daimel Asim and Chafei. Simuchafei is a dying or Paskin's wrong, which is one of the Gemara's cases of Garmi. So it seems to be Grama and Garmi. Now, I don't have a printed psak from Shlomo Zalman, unless they put it out in the Mechashlema. I don't think it's there. When we learned Bava Kama, we had it from different journals that reported the psak. So, Garmi is chayiv, and Grama is only chayiv b'dinei shemayim. He's still supposed to pay, but it's chayiv b'dinei shemayim. Usually makes some type of pshara, if I agree. If it's Bar Miskalgel, if it's without the Dinam of Grama Garmi, then you have no matter what. Yeah. I have a problem that it seems to me that the Nesivis is a steerer to Rav Shlomo Zalman. Nesivis does say, he says, trefa meat, there's kosher meat. It seems to him it's salt, milk, and sugar. I doubt he's arguing. Do you think he's arguing with the Nesivis? Do you think he's arguing with the Nesivis? Yeah, so he does make a chilek between if someone ate it and it caused him to get sick, or he fed it to his animals, the animal got sick. And that's not, he calls that not bar meskagel. Bar meskagel is that the thing still exists when it does damage, just does damage in a second place, in a second location. It seems to be like the dayan who passed him its kosher and he went out and lost money, or he said the coin is a good coin and it went out. It seems to be similar. Okay, Maramok about Ilach. It's a set of important ideas to know in general, and it's Negea here. Okay, today we learn Sif Tezvav through, hopefully, Yud Ches, which is really one set of rules, Fech Sheirim, who catch somebody doing something wrong. Presumably, we're talking here about a person who's Bechestus Kashrus. We had in Sif Aleph, they can't just trust the Frum Yid to sell. Frum Yid in his house, you can always trust. To sell, the stamp from a yid is not. Now, when he has to be mostly bekashrus. And that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about a hefsher. We're talking about someone you trust. He's a mostly bekashrus. And him, you're allowed to trust in his business. And then you catch him. So, Sif Aleph, I read this, I think, quickly at the end of last week. Someone who once is caught selling Dvar Masurim, Mavirin Oisai, we don't let him sell anymore. Umishamtim Aisa, we put him in Cheirim. Veile Takon, Achielach Lamokim. The only way he can get his business back is Achielach Lamokim Shemakirin Aisa. He moves to a place where they don't recognize him, which I guess if he sells Trafis would be a normal thing for him to do. The Yazar Aveda Bedava Chashiv. And he shows how firm he is that he marks him an Aveda, he finds an Aveda that's a very Chashiv a thing. And he returns it. A yishad la'atzmai, the yitzi trefa la'atzmai b'dava chashiv, and he has yishati for himself. And we find that something was treif, and when it was treif, he threw it out without any ulterior motive. Shavadei asuchuva b'loy haraba, but it has to be without tricks. Kivishen achasam amaynai. If he's willing to give up money for his treifis, so then that's good. So here it's a chiddush. You're allowed to sell it to a guy if he took a loss by selling it to a guy. So here we have two things. Number one, one strike and you're out. A person who sells something treif, presumably knowing that it's not. Now, why don't he says it was a mistake? So we'll get to that. But he sells something that's treif becheskes kashrus, and you catch him. So one time, and the person is out. And the Chacham Sadam says no different. He sold in Isidur Aisa, Isidur Rabbanon. The guy, be honesty, it's the same thing. So we don't trust him. The next time he'll sell something that's not in Isidur Rabbanon. And that's that. And one time you're at second chiddush is how does he do tshuva? Very hard, very very hard to do tshuva. He's got to go to a place where they don't know him, and do a firm thing that costs him money. Without it being a harama. In other words, he couldn't have pre-set up Edim to witness, look what I'm doing. It has to be straight honesty. In such a case, afterwards, he can be retrusted. If he doesn't tell anyone, how's anyone going to find out? It's a little tricky how this whole thing works.
Wouldn't you think that doing tshuva would be undoing what he did wrong?
Well, it means, tshuva is Oisei Chet, Oisei Makim, Oisei everything. Means you come back, yeah, Oisei Makim, yeah, you're right. The idea is talking about Znos, so it has to be the same type as Znos. Here it's the same, it's meat, it's Trefa meat, Kasha meat. If you did have Avera meat, and now it's for chicken, which is less of a loss, I guess it wouldn't be good. Oisei Makim means the same type of an Asayan. And now the main Chiddush here is that one time and you're gone, no second chances.
Is what? He
shuts
himself and
straight,
and then he doesn't eat it?
Yeah, and he throws it out. He shuts himself, he finds trafis. What?
How
much do I do with himself? I say, yes, is a good kasher. This mechaber seems to be a stira to Ramon Sif Aleph. The Ramon Sif Aleph said, not only Ramon, the mechaber Sabay said, even a fellow's not reliable for what he sells, But in his house, you can eat by him. In his house, a firm yid, you can always eat by him. To sell, that's something else. To sell, he has to be a chashev. He said, the Mechaber Sif Bei said, there are people who are ein chashed lechol dvarim asurim, avo chashed lemaychem. There are people who, if they even, they don't worry so much. Fayenis is good gani kusha. But for himself, at home. So the Mechaber there said, you can't compare the home to what he sells. That's funny here, by tshuva, we're letting him do tshuva for what he eats at home, in order to do tshuva for what he sells. Your kasha, good kasha. I don't know, it seems to be as good. Alright, so maybe you're right. Let me tell you. The kasha is, why one time and you're out? Normally someone has a chazakah. You only use three times and you lose a chazakah. Maybe two times. What? Right. So why one time? It's a Gemara. But why one time? A person did it once. That's a ruins his cheskes kashas. He has a cheskes. If he wouldn't have a cheskes kashas, he couldn't be selling in the first place. So a person one time doesn't have aveira. Why does he lose? Why does he lose a cheskes kashas? What's the reason for this? From one time he had till now. The in Hilchos Shechita, it says by a sheichet that he gets three times. The sheichet, is it? What? Pashtus, you don't lose a cheskes kasher. Pashtus, you shouldn't lose it one time. Taisus and Megillah, it says there's a Mishnah. Taisus Chulin, I think it's Davav. The Mishnah says Hashechet b'Shabbes, Avish Shchitasai. Tais says he's a mummer. How can you trust him to shecht? One of Tais Tetarotzim is, it's the first time he did it. First time, you don't become a mummer. You need twice, not a shechita. You need two times to become a mummer. So the question is here, why one time you become it? I think, in Simon Bey, not a shechita, Misha Shacha Vaisi Trey for Pamachas. From one time, it happens. I mean, it's not good, it should happen. So that seems to be a stira to hear. Seems to be a stira. So, it's in all cases, the person probably says he's not amazing. So, the shachdir is the question. It says it could be over there, means we don't know for sure. There's one major difference between the two, and that is that here we're talking about someone who's selling, and there's the cheshbon of chemdas mamon. Chemdas mamon, it doesn't, everyone likes money. The chemdas mamon means to be dishonest, like we had in Sif Aleph. A person at home could be totally kosher, and when it comes to selling, the chemdas mamon is colors a person. When there's the chemdas mamon, chazal very machmer in Sif Aleph, the Ramah said, you can have a regular firm yid, and he has to be hosted b'kashrus in order to sell. Kimber, you just meet somebody at chachris, he's davening, and then he tells you, no, I'm selling meat, you want to buy some meat? You can't rely on him. Now they rely on him. You have to know, he's hosted b'kashrus, whatever the guidelines were that we had back in Sif Aleph. Why? Because chemdas mamon is different. So it seems that that's the reason here. Here we're talking about a meicher dvarim asurim, and meicher dvarim asurim, it's his business. It's his business. Now, by a sheichet, there are some sheichtim who get paid for each time, each shechita, and some get paid according to how many are kosher and how many are treif. You're not supposed to pay a sheichet according to how many are good and how many are bad. A sheichet is supposed to get paid the same. He shechts for an hour, he gets paid. You bring an animal to him, he charges you $10 to shecht. And you pay the $10 whether the shechita is good or no good. Otherwise, he has incentive to lie. Shechet ma'arei chachamim. So the reason this seems to be so strict is because of the chemdas. What? Because otherwise he's just faking it out. He's trying to act frum because everyone's looking at him. So that's why. He knows he has a place where there's no. There's no ulterior motive.
It doesn't say he has to
dress in black. Okay. Now the issue here is Taz Lamed, Taz Tezayin, who takes all the oomph out of this. This is a sif. You gotta be tough. Actually, you catch him once, he's out.
Maybe that's why he's getting such a hard punishment.
Maybe I don't know. So why it says Devarim? Sounds like you're saying. Sounds like it's his business. He's selling Devarim Asurim.
They sell a lot of things. They sell
the what?
He sold a million things. They just caught him once.
That could be. Taz Tezayin takes a lot of the oomph out of this. Listen to what he says. Kosem Rashal, Perikir Anoshe, Simin Tezayin, Misayfai. Achshav, Shadar Parutz. What should it be? Now that we have a Dar Parutz, it should be stricter or more lenient? Look at what he says. Achshav, Shadar Parutz. Ein Kayach, Laham Radin HaTalmud. And we have no Kayach to be go busted a Din HaShas. Im Yira Lachacham, She'iyav Shalaylonin Lemakaymai. You can't move to a different place. The Tafli Tolibay, he has a family, children that day, they can't move. Vitzoris Habasolov, and he's got to marry off his daughter. He probably should move away, you know. Oi, Kedayim Lezeh, Noisim Le Tshuva B'Mekaymai, we let him do Tshuva where he is, B'Sigov, Deshiyayimid B'Mishka Lezeh. There's a Tshuva Samishka, where you give him a Tshuva that somehow equalizes the Aveira that he did. So, Sigov means things that cause him pain. You make him roll in snow. I don't doubt they're going to make him roll in snow, but in the Kabbalah Tanesa maybe, they make him do things. Why?
Because if you go sell and not take a loss.
Oh, you mean if it's going to match, it's not going to be?
Yeah, so that's
true. I once saw in Kafachayim the Tshuva Samishkol for someone who talks during davening. So if I remember correctly, he says the person who talks during davening, when davening is over, should lay himself down across their skufa, and everyone walking out should step on him on the way out for 40 days. And that's the Tshuva Samishko for talking during davening. We can't do it. It would take a long time to get out of the room. It's, but that's what I mean. They were very serious about the tshuva. You read in like Yehuda, he writes to do tshuva. They write incredible things that people had to do. Now I looked in the Darkei Tshuva, who collects tshuva svarim, and the Kafachayim. The Paiskim are across the board on this. There are some who say once and you're out, we're not going to be mekel, and some will allow tshuva, and in some cases it wasn't borrow, it was amazing, maybe it was a shegeg. So it seems that there's a range depending on circumstances. The Avtei Chachmas Adam does bring la'alocha this taz, that you don't have to move to a different city. It's not if kefi ene hamayra, and that takes a lot out of the umph of it. Today, hechsherim generally have a policy. The local, some hechsherim, at least the local hechsherim, have policies that once and you're out. You catch it once and you're gone on a local store, because it's shkiach. It's easy. If you want to fool a meshkiach, you can fool a meshkiach. And the meshkiach's not coming 2 a.m. The store's closed. If you want to come 2 a.m. and bring tray for stuff and take the boxes that this morning you got kosher meat and you used it and you still have the boxes, the chsherim don't take the boxes home. The boxes are there. If you want to come 2 a.m. and put tray for meat in the boxes and retape them, ain't no one going to catch you. If not, halacha allows to rely on Yitzhak Nechnes. Halacha allows. So today, the Hashem generally, at least, like I say, the local Hashem, are have policies to be machmir once, and you're out. The national Hashem don't necessarily have that policy. So let me tell you the time. The taina that they have, and there's something to be said, is that here, what's this case? You caught him once with treifus. Now you're going to trust him again. He's going to do it again. What happens If you caught him once, he's a firm yid. You don't have a mashgiach tamidi in the store. Yeah, it's a benichnas. You caught him. You say, okay, well, continue to give me a hechsher, but now you have to have a mashgiach. You have to have someone there all the time. So the taina is that I'm not trusting him back like I trust him before. I give a hechsher on goyim also. I mean, local hechsherim don't, but a lot of hechsherim, the national hechsherim, give hechsherim on goyim also. They're not neman. So till now, I treated you like a firm yid, and you were neman. Now, I'm going to put in an ashkacha that treats you like a not neman, and now we should be able to go forward. So this is the taina. There's definitely some logic to the taina. This taina appears in the Tshuva Shail Meishiv, which is brought here in the Darkei Tshuva, I think Kuf Yud Dalet, and Kuf Yud Zayin. The Shail Meishiv was only Machmir B'Shas HaTchak, and he brings that the Rav Shlomo, the Dayan of Vilna, was misnagged to this kula. So it's a debatable kula, but Lamaisa, there was a case where the Sheikhid was caught, so the Shalom Meshav allowed that the Sheikhid al-Sheikh from now on with a Chacham Oymin al-Gabav. They allowed to tell me they're Chacham, they know the Shechita, but they don't know the Omnis of Shechita, they can't Sheikh. So this was the only Sheikhid in town, so he allowed him to Sheikh with a Chacham Oymin al-Gabav to make sure that everything goes well. So this is the tzad keneged, the tzad kula is to be makel based on this.
Rebbe, is the hashkafa itself weaker after one strike is made, even though they give more, like the natural brand minus one?
You see, when you catch someone, very often it could be times it's the meshkiach's fault. It could be, but slav davka. It's Lav Dafka. It happened in the 20 years that I'm involved in Kiel. It happened two times I can remember. One time, we had kashid. It was a fleshika place. We had kashid the whole kitchen for Pesach. And one side, it was a separate area. There was a deep fryer, and they sell a lot of French fries and grilled stuff. And right before Pesach, they're busy with chametz. So we left the separate section chametz stick and this section Pesach stick. And our mashgiach checked, especially Pesach, was checking on the videos. We have a video, every store now we have access to video. He saw in the video, he brought it to the meeting of the Rabbanim. They deep fried chametz, breaded chicken, and the guy took the hot oil and put it down the Pesach tikka sink, and the firm owner was standing there watching him. If the guy had done it behind his back, maybe. But the firm owner was standing there watching him. This is mamish chametz tikka oil. Clearishin and pouring it down the sink. So he took off the hechsher. So obviously he's not trustworthy. I think any hechsher would have taken off the hechsher. So it happens like that occasionally, and I don't know. Closed circuit videos are great things for hechsherim. Great thing. I think I mentioned to you we had a pizza store that applied for a hechsher starting from after Pesach, and they gave us access to their videos, to the video code. And we have a guy who likes to watch videos, seems he's in the habit. So he went, and out of curiosity, he went on, and he had a video, again, he brought it to the Rabbanim to show, the eighth day of Pesach, on Pesach, you see, it's a motion detector video, you see the workers come in, make doughs, put the doughs in the refrigerator, and then it goes blank after about 2 hours, and then it goes on again. The mashgiach is opening with his key. He walks in, you know, kilu vehiayim, you know, like it's been closed. And they come in. Why didn't chap that there are those in the fridge? I don't understand. But that's what happened. So we applied for our hechsher. So we told him we weren't interested in giving it to him. And we sold it. We sent the video to their current hechsher, who also obviously pulled the hechsher. So these things happen. You catch somebody, and you just don't give another chance. Especially if it's deliberate. And Asif Tazarin, Tabach, Shemaisa Mechichin Shurais Lahashal Atziba Lachilam Treifis. Here you have a case where a person never sold Treifis, but he planned to. Maisa Mechichin Shurais Lahashal Atziba Lachilam Treifis. Good night. Shechotach Sircha. A Sircha has to be tested. He didn't test it. He pulled off the Sircha before it could be tested. Misalkin Oisai. Nevertheless, he doesn't have to pay the Dmeya Behema. It wasn't his Behema, whoever he took the Behema from. And And now you have to ask it. You can't test the sircha. It's not borrowed that it would have been good anyway. So it's only suffix treifus. So mele, you don't have to pay. That's how the shach explains it. The butcher, yeah. So here, somebody will say, but I didn't sell the treifus. I only planned. You know, you caught me with making my pesadik a sinchabit stick. But it's not sif tezvav. Tezvav is if you actually sold it. You didn't actually sell it. You're just planning to do it. So Sif Tezayin is telling you that even if he's planning to do it, it's also grounds for not trusting him. And what? So the Shach explains only a Safi, because the Sircha may have been treif anyway. So it's a Safi treif, so you came in and somebody said, well, Varaya, like we said the other week. Sif Yud Zayin, it's all the same halacha. Tabuch Shiat Streif, and Metachas Yadai. Now here, Enis Natsus Loi Meshege Koyisi. It becomes a little tricky. Now, when the guy's pouring chametz tikka oil down a Pesach tikka sink, we have a person who's eighth day of Pesach opening his store, there's no esnatzlos, there's no excuses. But there are times that there are excuses, that a person has an excuse. No, you're misunderstanding, I didn't mean it that way, I meant something else. He has some sort of an excuse. So, ain't esnatzlos loim a shaygeka, you see. You can't say I was a shaygek. Either it's nicker or it's not nicker. Why not? Why can't you're talking about a person that was trustworthy till now. Why can't he say Shege Kayisi? So the Shach, the Gra, Lamed Aleph, says, why not? Shach says, Dimleikein, Hechpas Nilchopsuliaidis, Yechayim Laimekein. Everyone says Shege Kayisi. I mean, not like I said, not every single case is possible to be a Shege Kayisi, but that's what people do. When you catch somebody, the person says, I made a mistake. So the Gra is saying that we can't allow people to say Shegeka Yisi. That's part of the deal. That if you want to be trusted, you got to be extra careful. You can't say Shegeka Yisi is not an excuse. In the Tshuva Sarajba, it says here on the side Tshuva Sarajba. Rajba actually says something else. The Rajba says when you're selling to the public, there's no Shegeka Yisi. He says that Raif Shagaga is Boim Mechisorin Hazihirus. Most Shaygegs come from people not being careful. Now, if he's going to tell you, I sold treif, I got it from the store, and I got it from the manufacturer, it came in the normal package, the manufacturer made the mistake. So that's a good excuse. It's Niker. He's not saying Shaygegs, he's proving Shaygegs. But if he's claiming Shaygegs, he says, Raif Shagaga is Boim Mechisorin Hazihirus. And therefore, we have l'chayra two reasons that a person can't say shaygeka yisi, either because it comes from a tazaren of zehiras, or because it comes from, or because we just can't let people do it. The system won't work. We try, like the Gra says, everyone's going to say shaygeka yisi. Now, nafkamina the two reasons. I want to read to you Pesachei Tshuva. The Pesachei Tshuva here sends you to Siman Aleph. As if cut and dalid, he brings a story from the Panim Iris. This is the Maaseh Shehaya. Shechit Shalawaisi al Behemish Shachar Ubadak, Va'omer Lefnei Edim Shiksherehi. You have a Shechit, he's not shechting his own animals, he's shechting other people's animals. He shechted an animal, and in front of two Edim he said it's kosher. Achakach Matsu Sircha Gedaila. Afterwards, they looked at the lungs of the animal. And they found a big sircha. He's saying gedayla. It's not something he could have missed or he could tie in his kasher. Shenitrified de sircha zu. So, what's the din of this shaychit? I would think one strike and you're out. He said it's kasher and there's a sircha gedayla on it. The shaychit said the following. The shaychit said, "I'm sorry, I was in a rush this morning. I missed it. Shaygega yisi." Now, he brings a similar test that says he can't say Shaygeka Yisi. He says that L'kama and Simikov Yates of Yitzayin Eilo Yistatzis Loi B'Shaygeka Yisi Shani Hacha. The Shaychit has a taina. Believe me, I was a Shaygek. If I would have been amazed, I would have peeled off the sircha and thrown it in the garbage. No one would have caught me. You could peel off. Sirchus, I told you, Sirchus is not the lung. There's a hole in the lung and liquid that drips through and hardens is a Sirchus. Sirchus could always be peeled off. Now, when we peel it, we check if there's a hole underneath. That's what a Sirchus is. He said, if I did it b'mezid, I could have just peeled it off and thrown it out. So, believe me, I have a raya that I'm a shaygeg because I didn't do it. It's a proof that it's a shaygeg. The Panim Yeris accepted that. Well, what he says, what the Dakei Teshuva says, this is totally in the two reasons. Think about the Gra's reason and the Rashba's reason. The Gra's reason, the Gra said, you can't say Shai Gegayisi. Everyone's going to say Shai Gegayisi, we just can't believe you. Now if, assuming it's a good enough proof, that you're a Shai Gege, you could have just thrown it out. So then in that case, you could say Shai Gegayisi. The Rashba said, Shaygeg doesn't help because Rav Shagaga is boy mitach miyat hazahirus. Here it also came mitach miyat hazahirus. You weren't careful. You're in a rush. You're going to be in a rush again. People always in a rush. So like the Gra's reason, itaka, you're in a rush. That's why we're not trusting you. You're going to be in a rush again. According to the Rajma's reason. According to the Gra's reason, that we just can't trust people to say Shaygeg, but if you can prove you're a Shaygeg, then it's good. Then it works. So that's an afkamina where a person could show that he was a shaygeg, even though it came from miyut to zahiris. That would be an afkamina between the two reasons of sifyadalit einus natsas lima shaygeg. So to review, what we had in these three sifim is that after one time, one strike you're out, and siftazayin, even if you just tried to be martial people, you didn't actually have to do it. And Sifyid Zayin, that he has no snatches to say Shegeg Yisi, but we have two possible explanations of why. So these are basically the rules, and okay, we'll continue next week.